The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. That right there is Calais Bidelon.
Yes, sir.
What's happening?
Not much. How we doing?
You got week one preseason fever?
I do, man. I got like four bets going tonight. Let's go.
Do you really?
I think so.
Wow. That's awesome.
I have three tonight. Four in total for week one. Three go tonight.
Oh, three happen to be today. Yep. All right. Well, we'll talk about that. We'll go through, there's six games today in the National Football League preseason week number one. We'll go through the basics of who's playing, who's not, in terms of starters, how long they're expected to play, that kind of thing. Again, once they went from 4 weeks to 3 weeks, the difference in how teams decided to approach this became that much more vast. Because usually, again, when it was a four-week arc, we're playing everybody week three, we're sitting everybody week four. It was kind of a scriptish kind of thing. Now it's every team figuring a different way to do this.
You know what, though? Like, doesn't it feel like it should be more obvious now? Like, you used to have that, like, it was, like, always week three. Some would start a little early in week two, right? Like, now it just feels like everybody week two. It should be starters, week two, play half, and then get out of here. Don't see them again.
We'll talk about all six today. We'll figure out how everybody's thinking it through. JVT's going to join us on the show this hour. Jonathan Von Tobel. Talk college football. He's got picks from the College Football Betting Guide that he will share with us, some season longs. Looking forward to that. National Football League with him, Major League Baseball with him, everything we can catch up with JVT. Co-host of Money Moves here on the network of Stormy.
Feels like it's been a minute since we've had him on.
It has been a minute and a half, I believe. I have on my watch. Minute and a half. And then another co-host of another great show here on the network, Prop Points co-host Jeff Erickson. Talk Major League Baseball and National Football League with us a little later. One of my low-key favorite guests.
Jeff's awesome.
We don't often praise Jeff as much as we should praise Jeff. Mm-hmm. Always solid. Looking forward to talking to him. The co-founder of RotoWire. How about that for a flex?
Yeah, man, which has been an institution in the fantasy and betting world now for how many years?
Well,
decades?
Said. Institution. He is an institution. And then, of course, it is Thursday. You know what that means. Unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger. Usually it's Zach and Crack, but Zach is on a trip.
He's off gallivanting around Europe.
I believe gallivanting is the correct word. But Bill Krakenberger, later unscripted.
And brought the kid. I did talk with Zach yesterday.
Oh, I thought you said Bill. All of a sudden, I was like, Crack brought the kid? What are you talking about? Oh, Zach did.
Yeah,
they have a little, they have a little child. They're not going to leave the child behind, I would think.
I thought maybe parents
or
something.
Oh, the grandparents might have been able to take.
Maybe they don't want to take it with them.
Yeah. Crack and I have a lot to talk about. By the way, Derek Stevens made an appearance on Crack's podcast.
He did. I actually listened to some of that, yep.
Which Bill and John Orlando do from right here at Circa, at the sports book here behind us. And Derek was kind enough to spend 15 minutes solo with me yesterday in the parking lot talking about stuff. Just tremendous guy, super smart. But Derek, Derek went on Twitter yesterday and said some stuff people didn't like. I have opinions on all kinds of things. We'll talk we'll talk about, among other things, and I know we're unscripted generally, but because it was on Crack's Pod, we will talk about Derek's thoughts on contests, on prediction markets. We'll get into all that stuff. I have things to say also.
I thought it was an eye-opening comment. I'll leave Crack to talk about it, but an eye-opening comment about how much it costs to run these contests, right?
Yes.
Because I don't know that I'd ever heard that or seen that before.
No, that was very transparent.
Mm-hmm.
Very transparent. So looking forward to that a little later on in the show. Unscripted with the Crack Man exclusively here on A Numbers Game. Tennis. Yesterday and today. Yesterday, winner. Hope everybody played Elena Rybakina as a short dog against Coco Gauff. As Elena Rybakina has been doing seemingly this entire tournament, she drops a set, she comes back, she wins it in three. She did that against Coco last night. So the finals are set. This is exhibit A as to how tennis is not, let's say, the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
These Canadian tournaments got so backed up with weather that now this 1,000 bled into the 1,000 in Cincinnati. They're both 1.5 week events.
So like, how do they do that?
Well, so they take Rybakina and Swiatek, just the simple answer is, and their first round matches will be at the very end, right?
Okay.
That's their respective first round matches. That's the best they can do with it. But generally speaking,
is there a cutoff point, though? You like golf has a cutoff point, right? Where it's like, well, hey, we got to get to the next tournament.
Yeah, I mean, let's say it was a torrential downpour today in both Toronto and Montreal, and Ben Shelton and Brandon Nakashima, who upset Rafa Hodar yesterday. Let's say they just have to stay behind.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy.
It becomes problematic. For sure it becomes problematic. But they'd figure it out. It would just be awkward. So what we have today, again, I just mentioned the two finals, men's and ladies' side in Canada, which again is the 1,000 that precedes the 1,000, the Cincinnati tournament that precedes the U.S. Open, the final slam of the year, and then it's football, baby, regular season. That's how this works. Today, I think Swiatek is correctly priced as a favorite against Rybakina. She's about minus 135. I have it at about minus 145. Wasn't enough for me to pull the trigger on a bet. But again, Iga trying to win her 8th different 1,000 tournament of her career. 8 out of 10 this would be. In terms of different ones, she's obviously won multiple Rome. She's won multiple Dohas. It's an incredible career. We'll see if she can pull off Canada. And as I said, a couple matches ago against Kostyuk, the brain seemed to unlock. Iga unlocked. So we'll see if she can get it done against Rybakina. But I don't have a play in that. I don't have a play in Ben Shelton versus Brandon Nakashima in Montreal. I think Ben Shelton is the correct favorite. And Ben Shelton is trying to win back-to-back Canadian Opens, which would be his only 2 1,000 wins of his career. Both in Canada, back-to-back. So let's see if Ben Shelton can pull that off.
One of his more likely surfaces to do it on, right?
Oh, for sure.
Or locations, I should say. I mean, definitely his most likely surface.
Yeah, and his serve is just is built for it. Tennis, though, today in Cincinnati. I'll be on radio in Cincinnati tomorrow talking about this. Or, no, I don't know if it's a radio show, if it's a U. I don't even know.
I thought it was TV.
Maybe it's TV. I don't know. Oh, am I doing TV? I should probably know that.
It's TV. You should
probably
prepared.
Know that. Oh, it's TV. Sorry, guys. I do have plays, though, in Cincinnati. Two on the men's side, two on the ladies' side. And again, with the scheduling, Kelly, I made a bet for tomorrow also, thinking that it was today, but it's not. So today, two on the men's side. Adrian Mannarino is a plus 152 dog against Denis Shapovalov. Shapovalov's, speaking of great services, right, he's a hard court guy. But Mannarino is the ultimate hard court guy. And he's an older player who can really sort of mess with timing and frustrate other players. So I got Mannarino at plus 152.
Shapovalov's a Canadian, right?
He is.
Oh, yeah. Sneaky Canadians on tour. I always try to pick them out. How often do I ask you about
Shapovalov
that?
Is sneaky everything. He's born in Israel, not Jewish, really? Canadian.
Well, wow, yeah, that is fascinating. Okay.
Martin Landaluce is the big dog of the day, taking him at plus 230 versus Jack Draper. Love Landaluce's game on hard courts. And then on the ladies' side, a couple favorites, Diane Parry, your girl Diane Parry.
That's right, Diane.
Diane Parry is how you really pronounce it. minus 105 versus Carolyn Dolahide. And then Taylor Townsend, our girl, who we were just winning match after match on at plus prices over the vacation, versus Camila Osorio. Tomorrow, I already made a bet on Griekspoor over Botik Ventisanschulp.
Wow, that's an all-time name matchup right there. I mean, Talon, I've always had up there as one of the best.
Yeah.
I mean, Talon, Griekspoor, both parts are amazing. But then Botic, Vanden, Schlibbit, that's pretty good, too.
Vanden, Schlibbit.
Yeah, that's pretty good, yeah, too. I think I'm going to play the old Paul Card game with you and at least tail you on Diane and Taylor Townsend, because they're playing two people I've never heard of before.
Well, if I'm you, I play the bigger dogs, but okay.
Sure. Caroline Dolahide. Camila Osorio? I don't remember seeing
Osorio.
Those names.
Oh, yeah, Osorio's had. We've been on her through the years a lot. Dolahide, probably never.
Yeah.
But she's been on tour forever as well. So Mannarino and Landaluce on the men's side as dogs. Parry and Townsend on the ladies' side as favorites today. Baseball, a little setback yesterday. The Tigers beat the Guardians two nights ago, 6-4. They take a 6-4 loss yesterday against the Guardians. So they fall to 7-3. The nice part about that is we have a Thursday, so they get to make up some ground today on the Rays if they can win the rubber match against the Guardians and get within two wins of the Rays, who are at the top of August at 10-1. Get them out of Sacktown already. Jesus. Rays are 10-1. The Cubbies, our second choice, are 9-2 after another win yesterday over the Nationals. Padres, the sneaky 9-3. And then yesterday, the Braves and the Blue Jays snuck ahead of our Tigers at 8-3 and 8-4. So Tigers, the rubber match this morning against the Guardians. Hey, just win it. Win another series. That will make them undefeated in terms of series thus far in the month. Get to 8-3. You'll only be two wins back heading into the weekend with a home three-game set against the White Sox. And remember, beyond our bet, These are huge for the Tigers in terms of their playoff position, not just wild card, but obviously against the Guardians and White Sox division.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, game lines today, that is Cleveland about minus 120, Detroit plus 110, total set at 8 for that game.
Golf update, sir?
Golf update, Tommy Fleetwood on a tear early at the FedEx St. Jude Championship. I think you got screwed up by this the other day, by the way. It screws me up every single year, the FedEx St. Jude Championship as part of the FedEx Cup playoffs.
Yes.
Like, it's just, it's a little
weird. Did I get it screwed up?
No, no, no. I feel like you took a pause the other day to, like, make sure you had it right. Yeah. I'm like, I do that all the time. Yeah. And you're like, think you're
screwed. Because you have to, we're talking about points in the arc.
There's that, too. The FedEx Cup points in the FedEx Cup playoffs. Pearson Cootie and Tommy Fleetwood, both 4 under par. Tommy only threw 4 holes, though. So 4 under through 4. Pearson Cootie threw 8. They have a 3-shot lead on the rest of the field. This is only about a third of the guys have gotten started here. At 1 under par, you have Harris English, Maverick McNealy, Sepp Straka, Thor Bjornsson, Gary Woodland, some notables there. And so let's see, some notables over par. Jackson Koivun, 2 over par, the worst one.
Who am I rooting for you?
Tom Kim, Hideki Matsuyama, and who else did I get on here? Colin Morikawa. And Sam Burns. Thank you, Danny. I knew I was
Danny from the Raptors.
Yeah.
From the Raptors, Danny.
Hideki would feel good because this has been like 4 weeks in a row where I've been going back to Hideki, and he's been, I think it's a good example. He's playing really well, cashing some tickets. That's nice. Just not hitting that outright, you know?
Wise man once said, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
That he did. He also says it all the time when we swear, too.
Shout out Brent. Oh, yes, he does. Randomly, he'll come out and scream
That's
it over.
Right.
Shout out to Brent Musburger, by the way.
For real.
It's been too long. We'll come back. We'll talk about all 6 preseason games today in the National Football League. Let's do it next on A Numbers Game at Visa.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
$30 million in guaranteed prices, no rake. Cash in this football season in Las Vegas with, pardon me, 3 circus sports contests. Emotional about it. Entry starting at $1,000, all with no rake. That means every dollar stays in the prize pool. Circa Million, 18 weeks, 128 ways to win. That's all with all the quarterlies and booby prizes and all that and all the rankings 1 through whatever in each of those. Mm-hmm. Circa Survivor, pick one winner each week. Last one standing wins. And, of course, Circa Grandissimo for the high rollers, $100,000 entry. And, by the way, the numbers on these that people track from year to year, all looking ahead of pace, man.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Enter in Nevada, play from anywhere. $30 million guaranteed. Visit circusports.com for details. We get tweets, beat of the book. Kyle in Vegas. He's actually tagged me in this. He's actually talking to Dr. Bob. He says, I just went to buy a package for college football. Hearing you on Beating the Book, he means on A Numbers Game, is like Christmas morning. We don't have it this year? Damn it, he says. College football will never be the same. Broken heart emoji. Well, Bob will be on to talk NFL. But yeah, he's done with college football. He's done with college basketball. The end of an era. So hard to say goodbye to yesterday. Nick Kendhammer, few days behind. How are people complaining about free picks even if they aren't getting all of them? They're free hate Twitter. Oh, that's talking about Todd again, also, was kind enough to join us yesterday. Xavier 82, winner, winner, chicken dinner, let's go. He had Rabakina with us yesterday. Brendan, why is there no adjusted lines available? I'm editing while I'm reading. For NFL preseason games as of yet. Adjusted lines?
Like alt lines?
Like alt lines? I don't know what book you're talking about. I don't know. That'll vary. From preseason offerings will certainly vary from book to book.
Yeah.
Trojan Ram. Yo, I tried giving Magnus Ferrell a listen. I will admit the man is talented, but not my cup of tea. Had to cleanse my ears with some Slayer afterwards.
Who was that tweet from?
Trojan Ram.
You know what? I forgot to text you yesterday, Gil. I followed through with what I said. As soon as I got in the car, Danny and I did our usual walk to the parking garage. We had a quick chat in the parking garage.
Yep.
Hopped in the car, threw on Magnus Ferrell,
yep,
and drove out of here, and I thought to myself, this kid's got pipes. This kid's got pipes. And I got to like song 2 and 3, and I was like, just not for me. Just not for me.
I have nothing to do with past one song. I have not heard anything else.
But I put on the song you recommended. It was impressive.
It's fantastic.
Kid sounds nice.
Q-tips for all of you if you don't like that song. Shronsky, John Osher. Hey, Gil, you are my low-key favorite host on VSiN. Love your show. Thank you. Why low-key? Why can't you shout it from the rooftop? No, I'm kidding.
Make a t-shirt.
He said, pivot to Zach. He said, generally a very smart guy and solid capper. I can't think of anything less EV than bringing your one-year-old overseas. Love all those flights from Phoenix. That is not vacation.
Oh, man.
LFC title records. Gil was right about Magnus Ferrell's song being a banger. However, I think he's wrong about Magnus being Will Ferrell's son. He sounds like the son of Pharrell, not Will Ferrell. True.
And he looks like the son of Uncle Joey. That's what I figured out yesterday.
He does, from Full House.
We were sitting here after the show yesterday, and I was like, this looks like another famous person from the 90s.
And Shrek McPhee, any thoughts on placing some men's opens futures in hope Sinner and Carlitos are out? You know, it's a good thought, but I think Sinner's playing. I really do. I think he's totally playing. We'll get to the other tweets here coming up.
And stop ruining Are We Sure questions, tweeters, okay?
Oh, we have Are We Sure coming up later. My bad.
I got a live edit now.
Kelly's got to do work.
I got to edit. Jeez.
Kelly's got work. All right, let's go through these one by one. We'll see if you have a bet where you don't, where you do. Lions, Bengals. Right now, these are all updated here, Danny. 6.5-point favorite are the Bengals. Total set at 38.5. The Bengals, head coach Zach Taylor telling reporters this week, Burrow, Chase, Higgins, Dexter Lawrence, Sexy Dexy, they're all starting tonight. Limited series, however, roughly 1 to 2 opening drives or about 8 to 16 total snaps. But that announcement alone is what has this at 6.5. Meanwhile, the Lions mostly bench. Jared Goff will not play. You'll see a lot of the Lions backups. Undrafted rookie Luke Altmyer expected to start at quarterback. With recent addition, Josh Dobbs also seeing action. Yeah, any play in this game?
Nothing for me here. I mean, look, I think this is one, as you just went through, Bengals will have the advantage earlier, throwing all the star power out there, see if you can get a score on the first drive or two, and then everybody will hit the bench, and I don't know about you, these are two guys and two coaches that, when we talk about the coaches that care, coaches that don't care, these are not exactly two of the guys at the top of the list that are caring about preseason.
Packers at Steelers also starts at 7 p.m. Eastern. Jordan Love will get the start for the Packers, although Matt LaFleur said he reserved the right to change his mind. Did you hear that? He's like, he said he sees value in getting...
I did not see that part, actually.
He sees value in getting mentally prepared to go play a game. So he left himself an out. Though Jordan Love is expected to start, and he has started, I think, the last couple years with these games as well, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know about that part. Don't hold me to that. But anyway, Matt LaFleur reserving the right to change his mind, but it looks like Jordan Love will start. Most healthy starters will likely play only 1 to 2 series, once again, for the Pack. Steelers, most murky of all these teams playing tonight in terms of their plan. Head coach Mike McCarthy stated he has left it as a game-time decision about Aaron Rodgers, though Rodgers considered unlikely to see heavy action if he plays at all. McCarthy noted that if any frontline players do take the field, they'll likely only go a series or two before giving way to depth pieces and rookies. A spotlight will mostly be on Will Howard and Drew Aller at quarterback for the Steelers.
Yeah, I got a Packers bet in the other day. Did take them at +1, I think. I mean, I would still be on that side of things. I think what they've got with the starters running out there, and then, yeah, I know it's been back and forth on this Rodgers situation, but, like, well, you and I talked about this yesterday. At this point in his career,
what do we do?
I mean, if it's already been a thing of him not really playing, why would we do it now?
I felt even stupid reading that sentence.
reminder, beginning of camp, McCarthy comes out, he's like, I'd love to see him 30 to 50 snaps in the preseason. Like, I don't think that's happening.
Colts, Pats, half hour later, 7:30 Eastern. Colts dedicating week one to testing backup signal callers. Anthony Richardson, Kelly's boy, and Riley Leonard. Daniel Jones is going to rest to avoid injuries. Yeah, he should probably do that. Expected to sit out. Most core veterans expected to sit out the majority of the game in favor of second and third stringers. Patriots expected to play most of their starters, to play most of their starters in tonight's preseason game against the Colts. No Drake May. He'll sit out. Tommy DeVito.
There you go.
Getting the start for the Pats. Hey, Colts, man, favored by 2.5.
Tommy does have some live NFL reps, so he can't blame him for that. I mean, that's something when you're looking at these quarterbacks, right? Or who are some of the backups we like to make fun of, but might feast on third and four stringers against a defense. I'm on the Colts. This is part of a teaser I had from when these opened. So Colts up to 7.5 when they were 0.5 dogs. Chargers up to 7.5. I mean, I think this one just comes down to really, what do you think about Anthony Richardson? And this is not as, I'm not as high on him as I used to be a couple of years ago, but this is the showcase weeks for Anthony Richardson as they're still trying to trade this guy,
And I'm not saying this flippantly because we got reports that he may not have perfect vision. I hope he can see okay.
Yeah, me too. But as far as, I mean, what's the, What's the game plan? How open is the playbook for him? Like, man, I would actually think this stuff is pretty open as far as what they're willing to do with him, just because you are trying to showcase and trade him away. So it would still be leaning to the Colts side for me.
Chargers
and lean over.
Chargers, Texans. Texans favored by 1.5. Totals at 36.5. Mike McDaniel, first time spotting him as the OC for the Chargers. Justin Herbert will not play, of course. Jim Harbaugh stating that roughly 15 veteran starters will sit out the game entirely, with backup quarterbacks Trey Lance and DJ Uiagalelei splitting the snaps. There you go. And the Texans starters resting, core veterans, regular starters like CJ Stroud will watch from the sideline. Texans will heavily feature rookies, bubble players, journeymen fighting for a spot for the 53-man roster. So we'll get some Davis Mills and we'll get some Graham Mertz.
Don't you think you've seen enough of Davis Mills by now? But okay, sure. Like, Graham Mertz might actually need the reps a little bit more. Yeah, this was the other side of that teaser I had with the Colts. This line really hasn't budged all week since it's opened. The total sitting about the same as well, I believe. Just note on some of the totals, which I didn't end up betting any for week one, but there's a couple of these that keep going up, including this next game, Cardinals and Raiders.
Raiders favored by 2.5. The total's 41.5. That's like a real game total.
Up to 42.5. There's a 43 on the board I'm staring at.
Well, here's part of the reason. Cardinals are going with Jacoby Brissett, and healthy top roster pieces will get early series work. They're expected to play their starters for a very limited time, about 1 to 2 maximum series, but playing nonetheless at Allegiant Stadium here in Vegas tonight. Mike LaFleur, their head coach, confirming that Brissett and other main first-team players will see action. Top draft pick Jeremiah Love expected to make his debut. Gardner Minshew will get run, and Carson Beck, who was 15 of 19 for 188 in the Hall of Fame game and one touchdown, he will get some reps. Of course, the Raiders, Clint Kubiak saying, we're going Kirk Cousins, then we're going Fernando Mendoza. First string unit will see action, though their time will be limited to a brief planned number of snaps or series. The entire offensive linemen, though, Colton Miller, Spencer Burford, Tyler Linderbaum, Jackson Powers Johnson, DJ Glaze, they're all expected to line up alongside Ashton Jeanty to begin this game with Kirk Cousins. No one knows about Max Crosby's expected availability, but why would you play him?
Yeah, for real. I was actually thinking that's where you were going with that offensive line note, though. I'm surprised they're rolling out all those guys, especially
those guys.
Like Linderbaum stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, look, this is the game of the night, right? No bet for me, though. This is seeing a lot of the starters go on the Cardinals side, and you just rattled off the net list of guys going for the Raiders. So as far as watchability tonight, this will probably be game number one.
That's the game of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Little Fernando Mendoza.
Yeah.
We left out one. We'll get to that at the start of the next break, and then JVT will join us to talk all of his college football. Well, not all of them. We'll leave some for the guide. But some of his college football season-long plays. Talk baseball with him. NFL. Maybe he has some preseason plays.
He does.
All right. Jonathan Von Tobel on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Football is back tonight in earnest, and some of the best betting opportunities of the year start with the NFL preseason. Sign up for VSiN Pro today. Get both our NFL and college football betting guides, packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's sharpest minds to help you bet football smarter all season long. You also get daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, including our new MLB player props and total picks, plus 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for just $9.99 to get a full year and save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Kelly, before we get to JVT, one more game tonight. The last of the ones we didn't get through, Titans-Niners. Niners not planning to play their starters against the Titans. Head coach Kyle Shanahan stating there won't be many starters playing. Succinctly, he says, as the team already got heavy work during a joint practice earlier in the week. So Purdy sitting, Trent Williams sitting, Fred Warner, all expected to sit out. McCaffrey, Nick Bosa, remaining sideline, nursing injuries. So rookies, backups, bubble players, majority of playing time. But the Titans, Robert Saleh confirming all the healthy players will be active. And starters will play more than just a single opening series. Cam Ward expected to log multiple early series to gain live reps in the new system. And, yeah, that's confirmed by a couple sources. And Carnell Tate, we'll get our first look at him as well.
Yeah, so, scooped this one up on open. Didn't really know what the Titans game plan was going to be at that point. But, you know, Niners injuries were already racking up last Friday when I bet this. So this is moved. I think this is the biggest mover on the board here for week one. This opened 49ers 2.5-point favorites. Now they're 6-point dogs. So I'm on the Titans, but it's moved 8 points from where I bet it.
We're going to start to get at least two or three people every day. They're like, substation. Can't be told any differently.
I fired up old Pablo Torre Finds Out, who has an episode on in here this morning.
He's doing that?
Yeah, it's kind of frustrating. You know, I love Pablo. There's a couple that are just not as great as some of the other hits. This is one I would say so far. I haven't learned anything.
I tell you, Pablo texted praise after my hot dog breakdown.
Great.
He's impressed by the hot dog breakdown.
I forgot about that.
Jonathan,
whatever to that controversy, the sticking plate controversy.
It just went away.
It just went away completely.
It is a scandal that no one wants to delve into beyond what we did.
Man, they're out there. They're just stacking plates and getting away with it.
I was very proud of that deep dive.
It was impressive.
I spent 10 minutes watching the single camera.
It's impressive,
I'm telling you, she only put down 34.
Man, the stacking plates police.
What's her name?
Miko.
What was her name again? Miko or something?
Mikisudo.
Mikisudo. Thank you. Jonathan Von Tobel joins us now. He is the co-host of Money Moves each and every weekday here, Monday through Friday, that he co-hosts with Stormy Bonatoni. It starts at 11 a.m. Pacific. That's 2 p.m. Eastern. JVT joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at MeJVT. What's happening? Look at this guy. Svelte looks great. How many pounds have you lost?
We're down about like 67 pounds. So we have been cruising. Although I've been thinking about starting steroids in all seriousness because, you know, these last few pounds have been kind of stubborn, want to get a little jacked. And so why not go the synthetic way? So I think you guys laugh. Like, I'm being serious. Like, I've thought about steroids and I think I might. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
JVT is going to come in here and rub the clear on his thighs before a broadcast.
Better watch out, man. Every time he walks in already, he looks like that, man.
You look no, great. Seriously, though, like, you've cut like 5 to 10 years off your appearance, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Hasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you look like you're 14
appreciate
years old.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say this. That's a good thing because I was out and about one night and I was told, this was like 3 or 4 months ago, like, oh, you look like you're like, I would guess you're 40. And I was like, I'm 35. So we got to keep going.
Yeah, I looked younger than my age till about 43, and then it caught up quick.
You got to stop saying that; it's scaring me.
All right, John, we were just talking about. We'll get to your college football. You tackled the SEC and the Mountain West most prominently in the college football betting guide. I want to save that for the next segment. We were just talking about the NFL preseason beginning with 6 games tonight. Do you have any plays on tonight's slate?
Yeah, there's a couple. One of the games you guys were just talking about, I was listening to you. We'll go Raiders and Cardinals first. But Raiders first half, minus the half point. I think it seems somewhat easy, but kind of sniffing around a bit and looking at some of the press conferences from Kubiak, he seems to maybe have that first-time head coach sickness in the sense of he actually might be game planning for this thing. So actually throwing out some complex concepts and trying to go out and potentially win this game. He was asked the other day about Fernando Mendoza playing behind the starting offensive line. He kind of hemmed and hawed and was like, yeah, you know, we've got a plan. I think they're probably, because you guys were talking about this, the starting offensive line is going to be out there. They're going to play in front of Kirk Cousins, and I think they're also going to play in front of Fernando Mendoza to give him the best opportunity possible, too. So outside of just the starters playing and the game planning there, I think they're also going to set it up for Mendoza to have some success at home here in front of the fans, too. So I think all of that leads to a half-point lay in that with the Raiders in the first half. I understand that LaFleur is going to play his starters, too, but I kind of trust that Kubiak's actually going to go and put some stuff out there, some complex stuff, to really score some points and have some success. And the other is, I'm just going to kind of push back on the notion of the market thinking that this Bengals team is just going to come out and absolutely blow the doors off the Lions. You know, it's interesting, and you get this dynamic in these preseason games. First half line, 6.5, 7. For the first half, it's like 6.5, 7.
That's right.
I understand that the Bengals are going to play their starters, but I think sometimes, and like Kelly has done this a couple of times now, right? The bettors that bet this are laying 3.5 with the Cincinnati Bengals because that's when it opened. They're not laying 6.5, 7. It seems somewhat aggressive to just assume the Bengals are going to come out here and roll, considering we just don't know what the role of those starters are going to be. Mm-hmm. Joe Burrow could play and fulfill the decree that he is starting the game and then hand it off 6 straight times and then head off to the bench. And I just think that we're kind of a little too far here. I understand the Lions aren't going to play any of their guys. They're a little beat up too. They're going to see their two young quarterbacks, or not young quarterbacks, but unknowns, right? Altmyer and Dobbs, who's only been there for a couple of days. but I'm just kind of pushing back on the number here. So Lions for the game plus 7 and Raiders minus the half point for the first half.
Dobbs is fantastic when you only give him a day or
I
two.
I was just going to say, I like that we're docking the Lions like points for that. It's like, this is Dobbs' perfect situation.
This situation knows nothing. There's a couple of things there that I love that you said, which I want to just seize on, which is the affliction of new coaches who handle the preseason in a way they ought not to, is sort of the implication. The greatest example of that ever, Steve Spurrier, when coaching Washington, before the 2002 season, they went to Osaka. They had a game against the Niners in Osaka. Famously, Spurrier was asked a question, hey, what do you have to say about to the people in Osaka before they traveled? And Spurrier goes, tell them I'll see him in Osaka. That's the kind of articulate guy he was. But he did everything, like throughout whatever his whole playbook is. We're just going to pitch it and catch it. They beat the Niners 38-7, right? Danny Werfel throwing the ball around the yard. And the Niners just laughing at him the whole time. Like, okay, yeah, do thing. So I think you're right. That's a big thing in preseasons. And also, just a betting nuance to what you were saying about, you know, the pro bettors get this number at such a better number than what exists now. Preseason football, and let's just acknowledge, again, we are of the mindset, it is great. Those who handle preseason seriously, you can make a lot of money. It is not a degenerate activity. But it is also true that if you lose on something like what you're talking about, like if you make a bet on a Bengals, you're laying too much, it's also one of the betting things of the sports betting calendar that you can feel so stupid about if you lose. And you'll recognize it as it's happening. You're like, why did I bet this? This is so, like, I lost my money on this, of all things. So I just think those are a couple of interesting things.
I would also add real quick, Zach Taylor told us last week that the starters were going to play.
Yes.
So it's not like this was like new information and the line came out and the odds makers were shocked by the fact that Joe Burrow was going to be out there. He told us last week, like I think it was last Wednesday. He's like, yeah, we got a plan to play those guys. And then again, reiterated it and the market really freaked out. And obviously these markets are going to move because when sharp guys are coming in and betting it, you're going to move pretty quickly. But I would argue that initial opener of 3.5 had quite a bit of the, hey, the starters are going to play kind of baked into it too. And that's also my line of thinking.
Yeah. We even noticed that during primetime action when like legalization had spread, how people react. So the general public reacts days after news happens. So that's another example.
Yeah, coach says something at practice 2 days before,
why
then a starting lineup comes out and it moves. And it's like, hey, he said this was going to happen.
John, give us a JVT season-long NFL thought or bet that you feel is very different from conventional wisdom.
Ooh, very different from conventional wisdom. Okay.
I'll settle
this
for different.
Okay, I think this is somewhat different, especially because Stormy feels so strongly about it, and I feel other people, because of this team's history, feel strongly about it too. I have a sneaking suspicion the Browns can go over their win total.
Wow.
I think I think this team defensively is very good. I don't think there's really any question about that. Even with the loss of Myles Garrett, I think versus at least an adequate enough replacement. He's not going to set the record for sacks, but he's a good defensive end that I think is going to help them out. We know how talented they are at other positions. I keep saying this, and I know the reports out of camp haven't been great, but I will remind everybody that the reports coming out of camp for Patrick Mahomes before his first season were awful too, and he turned out to be okay. And I'm not saying Watson's going to be Mahomes.
He's all right.
I just think that we make a lot out of these training camp reports. When these guys are testing things out, they're running stuff, they're seeing what they can do. There's all sorts of different nuances to what they're trying. I think we have to potentially be ready for the fact that Deshaun Watson could come back and just be an average quarterback. And if he's an average quarterback, I think this team has something that is better than what the market thinks. I mean, we're heavily shaded to the under here. And I just think that in a division that might be a little bit more competitive than we expect, that the Browns might be able to get to that 6-win mark if Deshaun Watson just shows up and is average for the Cleveland Browns, because that defense is good enough. And I think that is something that I have been scared of, like Joker on the couch, right? In that Joaquin Phoenix movie. He's like, you know, I'm tired of saying it. Like, no, I'm going to say it now. Like, I think the Browns go over their win total.
If you ever like dreamed of a glass half full Adam Burke dissertation, that was it right there. Well done.
Very good.
More with JVT on the other side. We'll get some college football season longs from him. I don't know, maybe as a baseball player. We'll find out. We'll do that next. On a Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Another
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a Numbers Game live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, JVT with us as well. Real quick, couple tweets. Big Coombe, I believe I'm pronouncing that right. Still new to tennis, he says, at very popular national book, Coco went off minus 140 preflop, wins first set, before second set was over Rybakina. I got to edit. Was minus 150 for match. Can you walk me through how, why such a large move when at least it was a one set match at that point? Well, even the screenshot you're showing me, Big Coombe, shows it wasn't at the beginning of the second set. Because you're right. If that was the flip before the second set, that wouldn't be right. It was after Rybakina was up a break and then I think even two breaks in the second set, meaning it was already sort of fait accompli that it was going to be level heading into the third set. Also, if you were watching the match, Coco had a stretch there in the second set where it looked like she had lost her serve and she had just lost her complete wits. So that's the explanation. But Rybakina was already up 5-2 in the second when that happened. And then Willie B. Betton, based on Ben Shelton's social media post press conferences, I believe he hasn't lost a tournament this year. When his boo, Trinity Rodman, has been in attendance, he posted on his IG that Trinity surprised him at his hotel room earlier this week. I saw that. That was Trinity Rodman. Adorbs. Can I say that? Adorbs.
Sure.
And then Mikey P. Saw this at the grocery store the other day. If I drink one of these, will this make me just a good, just as good of a capper as Dr. Bob? Apparently there's a Dr. Bob soda. Where are you tweeting from, Mikey P.? I'd like to know. 2 liter bottles of Dr. Bob soda. Give me some of that. And Bob, and last one, Bob, time is prime. As a person from Wisconsin, I'm pretty surprised Graham Mertz is in the NFL. I can't forget how bad he was in such a wonderful stadium. But good for him. That's well said. Well said. JVT joins us now again, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Instrumental in the college football guide. You covered the SEC and the Mountain West primarily, John?
Yes, those are the two conferences that I had. My first year actually getting to cover the SEC for us or write about it. Usually I get the Big 12, but was handed the monstrous Southeastern Conference, which I really enjoyed.
A responsibility that one should not take lightly.
I was a little surprised by it yesterday. I was like, hey, Danny, what are we talking about, JVT? Mountain West? SEC? Wow. Yeah. Moving up in the world, John. Okay.
So your favorite best bet in terms of a season win total in the SEC has to do with Auburn.
Yeah, I'm kind of in, like, I'll drink the Kool-Aid here. Auburn is going to be absolutely fantastic. I think first and foremost, the continuity, and yes, it's a new coaching staff. Alex Golish is coming in, for those who don't remember, coached a USF last season, but it's Golish, it's Byron Brown who comes in with him from that Bulls team too. You get two receivers who come in as well with them that are really going to help Jeremiah Koger, 38 receptions, 597 yards, as well as Keyshawn Singleton, 50 receptions, 877 yards, and his offensive coordinator from a season ago. So, you know, one of my burning questions was essentially, can USF win the SEC? Because this is just a bunch of USF guys in different uniforms going and playing for the Tigers. But Brown's presence, I think, is very, very important here for Auburn. Obviously, you go back and it's one of those things where, you know, if I were to tell you guys, hey, Byron Brown was really good last year, I think we'd all agree, like, yeah, he was good. And then you put the numbers down on paper, 65.8% completion, 4,238 total yards rushing and passing, 42 total touchdowns. This dude was awesome. And obviously, we know, led the Bulls to an upset win over the Gators. I think this offense is going to be very, very good. But one of the things that really pushed me over the edge, and Stormy brought this up, I thought, and I stole her point and wrote about it in the guide, Golish did a really good job in retaining DJ Durkin at defensive coordinator. Durkin has done a really good job with this Tigers team over the last couple of seasons. They allowed just 20.7 points per game last year, 2.9 yards per carry, and for the first two seasons allowed fewer than 5 yards per play. So you retain Durkin as your play caller on defense. You retain some personnel on that side of the ball too. So I get this good mix of an offense that was really good, one of the best returning quarterbacks in the country, and an SEC caliber defense already in place for the most part. I think these things really work together for Auburn. So over 6.5, I think it's a playable number at minus 115. I am buying in on the Tigers and Golish this year for sure.
Yeah, Baylor, Southern Miss, Samford, win-win-win.
Yep.
They get Arkansas and Vandy at Jordan-Hare, win-win. I guess home date, Florida, road game, Mississippi State. It gets a little difficult with those. But yes, okay, Auburn over 6.5 from JVT out of the SEC. Let's go to the Mountain West. I remember one of my first reactions when VSiN first started, observing Matt and JVT, I was like, boy, these guys really like the Mountain West a lot.
They do.
Okay, so we have a few Mountain West plays here where UNLV, by the way, is the short shot to win the conference at plus 260. Let's start with Mountain West football only North Dakota State. You have a thought on them?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, to the point of the love for the Mountain West, there's so many teams in college, both basketball and football, like might as well just whittle it down to the conferences, you know, well. And so that's what I like to do here when it comes to this. And so with the Mountain West, we'll start with North Dakota State. One of the things that I don't really like about what North Dakota State did this year is they're definitely kind of, you know, we were talking about Raiders fans, right, in the break, Gil. I don't want to say the Bison are drinking their own Kool-Aid, but they're definitely sticking to their guns with how they're going to build this program. You look at what they did in the transfer portal, and it was pretty much nothing. In their 2026 recruiting class, they brought in 29 high school players, only 9 transfers, 3 of which played at a Power 4 program last season, and one of those is a punter. So, in other words, they really didn't add in the transfer portal proven talent from other different levels. And a lot of these teams in the Mount West are. New Mexico might have a transfer from Oregon playing at quarterback because of an injury. UNLV rebuilt their entire roster with a bunch of transfers from Power 4 programs. We can go down the list outside of Air Force of teams that have done this. They're new to North Dakota State promoting internally. And maybe that works in a year or two. But I think this year, given the market expectations as well, I think that's somewhat of a flawed plan here. So I think that with my starting point, I like this team under the win total. Remember, they're also replacing their quarterbacks and their starting quarterback. And you got to wonder, too, because Nathan Hayes is going to be the heir apparent to Cole Payton. They have had a starting quarterback drafted in the NFL draft since the 2000, I think it was 12 draft or something like that. Like, that is really good run of quarterbacks getting drafted. Logic says at some point that's just going to dry up. Like, you can't just always have NFL talent at the quarterback position. But I just think, given all of the replacement and just the role that they are being thrust into here, making this transition, I think that's really difficult. And then you look at their schedule. They got no favors. They've got to go to Air Force, UNLV, Hawaii, New Mexico. These are all teams that I think can win this conference. And they have to make road trips to every single one of those. I think this is going to be a pretty difficult schedule for them. So you could play it a number of different ways, but under 8.5 at a plus 140 price, I think that's a really playable number here for North Dakota State. I think they're being priced a little too high.
Let's talk about one of those teams you just mentioned in there, Air Force. We know what to expect from Air Force. 250 yards, rushing every game. But they were 4-8 last year. I think they're trying to stave off their third straight losing season, this would be, if it happened. Yep. But the schedule's pretty easy based on a quick glance here.
Yeah, it is. And amongst Mountain West football nerds, this is a very chic pick, Air Force, to go over a win total and potentially win the conference. But it all starts with the defense, because the offense, you hit it, they're going to be really good. Like, last year, they averaged like 30 points. They were a top 15 team in a lot of different advanced metrics, and top 15 in the country, we should note. They were wildly efficient. Liam Zarka is back at quarterback. This is the first time in 4 years that Troy Calhoun has had a returning starter at quarterback, so it's a really big deal for them as well. But it's really about the defense if they're going to be better. They allowed 30.3 points per game last year, 423 yards per game. Opponents averaged 7.2 yards per play. They were awful. But with some continuity back, and there's always that debate of, well, if you bring a lot of guys back from bad defense, is it going to get better or is it just going to be the same? And I think there's a kind of middle ground between that. But I think one of the big changes here, too, is Calhoun went out and brought in Steve Russ. He's actually the former defensive coordinator for the Falcons way back in like 2014 to like 2017. Understands what Calhoun wants to do. Given the returning production, how good the offense is going to be. And you mentioned the schedule as well, Gil, which I think works in their favor, too. They do have to face the big boys, but two of them, North Dakota State and UNLV, have to make the road trip to Colorado. They've got to go to New Mexico. But I question, you know, I've heard a lot of like, well, New Mexico has home field advantage now. Does it? Nobody went out to games in Albuquerque. Yeah. And just because a few thousand more show up, I don't think that means that all of a sudden you upgrade New Mexico's home field to an extent. So I think those are winnable games. We'll see what Hawaii, or see, they don't have to play Hawaii, which is really good. And then you get the potential winnable spots, Duquesne, San Jose State, UConn, UTEP. I think Air Force is going to be a challenger for the Mountain West Conference Championship. I personally bet Hawaii to win this thing at 6-1, but with the Pofele Ashlock injury at wide receiver, if you were going to go hunting anywhere else, I think Air Force at plus 550 holds some value.
And we should probably have started with this with the Mountain West, which is no Boise State anymore, no San Diego State, no Fresno State, no Colorado State, no Utah State. They're all in the Pac-12 now, Kelly.
Jesus.
You knew that.
Along with Texas State.
So, you do feel that injuries aside, like if they can stay healthy, that this is Hawaii's year in this conference.
I think so. You know, I think it's somewhat unfair because I keep hearing a lot of like, hey, Mike Alejado, there's, you know, their quarterback, Bishop Gorman alum, by the way, shout out. There's a lot of like, he hasn't proven that he can stay healthy. Well, he had one full year as a starter and he only missed 2 games. And then he played the rest of the year with an injury. I feel like it's somewhat unfair to just assume that he's going to get injured again. I understand he's demure by, you know, quarterback standards, but I think he's a very good quarterback. And despite the fact that he was dealing with that lower body injury all year long, was absolutely fantastic. So as I mentioned, Ashlock is a serious injury at wide receiver. But there are some rumblings that maybe it's not as serious as one could expect. So we'll see what that's going to look like here. But I think think, given the fact that they get all of the tough opponents at home, all of the easier opponents are on the road, I think this team can make some noise coming off a 9-win season. And they've improved their record every year under Timmy Chang. And I think that they can pull this off here, too. And I'm just a big Alejandro guy, and I think that's going to make a big difference in this conference.
Yeah, New Mexico at home, UNLV at home, North Dakota State at home. That really helps for sure. John, appreciate it very much. Do you have a Heisman Trophy bet for us on the way out?
Gunnar Stockton, 20-1. I really think that that's a pretty good price. And look, simple handicap, starting quarterback for a potential top five team in the country that's going to make it to the college football playoff. But I think he was really good last year, and they're going to open the offense up a little bit more for him.
A lot of Gunnar Stockton love, just anecdotally hearing about the Heisman.
I get it.
John, continue the health surge that you're on. You look great, man. Thank you for being on the show. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody, co-host with Stormy Bonatoni. Money Moves, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, Monday through Friday here at the network. We'll come back. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.